Amen. Good to see everyone. All the visitors and folks visiting with us. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. We're going to be at Philippians this morning. If you have your Bible. Philippians chapter 4. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, as I say a lot, your word gives us comfort, encourages us, gives us direction. It corrects us when we need correcting. Where it tells us who we are in Christ, that you do love us. You love us with an everlasting love. Lord, it tells us that we have eternal security. Lord, we believe your word. Lord, help me this morning. Preach and teach as you put it on my heart. We pause for a minute and we pray for our missionaries around the world, preaching the good news of the gospel. And we always, always lift up our military, wherever they're at, protecting our country. Father, we ask you to keep them all safe, place angels around them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Philippians chapter 4, 1 through 8. Okay, let's read it. It says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche. Say that three times. Syntyche. According to who you listen to, it maybe it's pronounced Syntyche. I'm going to go with the easiest one. To be the same mind in the Lord, verse 3. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Everybody said amen? Amen. This morning, I entitled this message, Positive Mindset. Positive Mindset. Now, I believe that Christians born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, should have a positive mindset. Now, I understand that occasionally life gives us difficult situations that we have to endure. Trust me. I know about that. Matthew 5:45b says this, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. It's just the way it's set up. Now during those difficult times, we may feel, as some would say, negative emotions. And that's real. I also know that we all, including me, all of us in here, at sometimes take our eyes off Jesus. Right? We take our eyes off of God and put our eyes on the troubles and trials and things that's going on in our life. And when we do that, most of us, I'm one, most of us have a tendency to get a little negative, pessimistic, and maybe ungrateful. The shoe fits, wear it, right? But Christians that are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus, we should be able to have a positive mindset. And one of the biggest reasons is because God has a passionate interest in us. He has given us a new birth. He has a purpose for our trials and tribulations that we may go through. And really, He has chosen us, you and I, to live in a very special time in history. Vance Havner, I remember him or know of him. He's a famous Southern Baptist evangelist in the early 1900s. Matter of fact, he went to school with Billy Graham down in Florida. And Vance Havner said this: God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to produce rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. It is Peter weeping bitterly who returned to Christ with greater power than ever. Unquote. We must accept. Everybody say accept. That's a key word this morning. We must accept that God loves to use broken people. The Bible is full of this evidence. I'm a broken person. There's parts of me that's no good. Well, everything about me is really no good. But I'm saying I'm broken. I guarantee if we knew what was going on or had went on in your life, everybody in here would be broken at some point, right? Just broken, you know? And whatever that means, I don't want to get into that. 1 Timothy 1:15. And this is Paul, okay? Now listen to how he starts out this scripture. He says, "This is a trustworthy saying." In other words, Paul says, "Brother, sister, I'm about to tell you something, and you can take this to the bank. This is absolutely 100% for sure." He says, "This is a truth, a trustworthy saying." He says, "And everyone should accept it." There's that word again, accept. "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it." This is what he says. "Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners." And then he goes on to say, "And I am the worst of them all." This is Paul. He knows he's the worst sinner of them all. He's done every kind of crazy, evil, wickedness in his past. Probably a whole lot more than any of us in here has ever done. Yet, Christ called him. Jesus forgave him of his sins. God got a hold of his heart and changed him. Turned him into a completely different person. Changed his whole identity. God loves to use broken people. Acceptance is the key to keeping a positive mindset and a grateful heart. I'm here this morning to tell you that I believe that is what is on the heart right now of God for us, for me, for you. Acceptance is the key to keeping a positive mindset and a grateful heart. And oh, how we need that today, right? And what's going on in the world? We have to keep a Christ-like mind, a Christ-like mindset, a positive outlook. Now, acceptance Webster's definition of acceptance is this: the action of consenting to receive something offered. I'll read that again. Webster said, acceptance means the action of consenting to receive something offered. Now, I'm going to use myself as an example here, but as I say me or whatever, I want you to think about yourself. See? Got it? The Holy Spirit called me. He asked me to be born again. See, I didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know, I think I'm going to get born again. No, none of you did. It's the Holy Spirit who draws us. God chooses us. So the Holy Spirit chose me, and He offered me salvation, the gift of eternal life. And in return, I had to accept this offer in faith. You know, we're saved by grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. So I accepted this offer of eternal life. And so I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And I accepted this, therefore, I became born again. I become a child of God. I was adopted into God's family. What a beautiful thing. He filled me with His Holy Spirit. And now I have eternal life. I'm never going to die. Ah, the real me. Acceptance. So I had to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I had to accept that God has forgiven my sins, past, present, and future. He's forgiven my sins. I had to accept that God loves me. Accept that I need to walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Accept that God is in control of everything. Accept that God knows what He is doing. Accept that He has a plan for my life. Accept that He knows me more than anyone does. Accept that He will provide for my needs. I've accepted that. Accept that He will protect me and my family. Accept that He is coming back for me. Accept that He has a place for me in heaven. I had to accept it. Accept that I have eternal life and I cannot lose it. I have eternal security. If, everybody say if. If we get up every morning and remind ourselves of just a few of those biblical principles, those biblical truths, we can keep a positive mindset for that day. We only live one day at a time. We've only been given one day. And it's like a, right? Then we get up the next morning and we say, Psalms 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now you may already do this, but if you don't, let's all make a pledge today. Let's all just in your heart. I don't want to see any hands. In your heart, will you make a pledge today that we all start doing this? When you open your eyes each morning, let's all say, right when you open your eyes this morning, good morning, Jesus. Thank you for this day. Good morning, Jesus. Thank you for this day. Good morning, Jesus. Thank you for this day. Everybody say it with me. Good morning, Jesus. Thank you for this day. One more time. Good morning, Jesus. Thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, let's take a quick look at our scripture for this morning. And we'll start with verse 1. Verse 1, I want to read it again to remind you. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, look at Paul, how he's doing this. Look, of whom I love and long for. He says, my joy, my crown. He said, stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. He says, stand firm in the Lord in this way. This is the way. Some of you will get that. Right? This is the way? No? Yeah. How many know what I'm talking about right now? Okay, stand firm. So he's telling them, look, we need to stand firm. We need to stand firm. He goes on with verse 4. We'll skip around a little bit till we get to where I want to go. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Here's this word again, rejoice. If you look up the word rejoice in the Greek, everybody with me? This is what it means. It means to be exceedingly glad. That's what rejoice means. It means to be exceedingly glad. It also means to thrive. And then in these scriptures, Paul goes on to cover the importance of prayer to overcome anxiety. That's a whole message in itself, and we're going to leave that alone right now. But this morning, I'd like to focus on verse 8. So give me a few more minutes, and we'll go through verse 8. Paul gives us a list of six things for us to think about during our day-to-day lives. As we're going about our day-to-day lives, he is suggesting that we, from time to time, we don't have to walk around all day thinking about it like some crazy robot or something. God doesn't want that. But from time to time, he wants us to make an effort to try to think around and about these six things. Verse 8. Read it again. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, he kind of throws those last three into one little thing, okay? But let's take the first one. The first one is true. God wants us to think about true, truth. And you look up the Greek and that word true, and what that means is, it means speaking or hearing the truth. And it also means to love truth. In other words, what this means, this is a person who's thinking in the area of, they love truth. They love to speak truth. They love to hear truth. They do not like to hear lies. They don't want to hear lies. They don't want to hear falsehood. Okay? Throughout our day, we need to be listening and speaking truth, not lies. Which means that most of us may need to cut back on the news lately. Right? I don't get to meddling, but cut back on the news. It can be, you know, depressing. It can be negative. It can really get to you. I think it's responsible that we keep up with current affairs, for sure. But maybe we need to cut back a little bit, not watch so much news because it could get in our mind. See, we're talking about a mind right here. Mind, thoughts. Some of us maybe need to cut back on a little bit of social media. I know it can be good, it can be positive, but it can also wind up, you know, I'm on Facebook, and if anybody don't talk about religion and politics, I'll defriend you in a minute. I don't want to talk about religion, and I don't want to talk about politics. Sounds weird, don't it, Pastor? Big difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus Christ that gives everlasting life. I'm in love with Jesus. If they want to talk about Jesus, I'll talk to them privately, in a private message. I'll talk about Jesus, you know. But I don't want to get into debating or any of that kind of stuff. I'll be done. Go. It's too negative, isn't it? Too negative. I believe also that this is me, my opinion. I'm trying to give my opinion too much because I might mess you up. I'm going to give this one. I believe that all the news networks occasionally deliver fake news. I mean, they don't care about you or me. For them, it's just business. So that's enough of that. Maybe we should cut out or stop. Maybe we should cut out hanging around negative people. or cut back hanging around people that are always negative, always down, and sharing false information. Now, be careful about folks like that. That gets in our mind sometimes. False information is really just gossip. And gossip is repeating something you heard, but you don't really know if it's true or not. That's really a good definition of gossip. Well, I heard this, and I'm not quite sure if it's true or not, but I'm going to share it with this person. Be careful of that. It gets very negative, and it'll bring you down mentally. Next one is noble. God wants us to think about things that are noble. And look up the Greek on that one there. And it means respectful, honorable character. Think about these words. I love to do word studies and look up these things. I mean, I can't speak Greek or Hebrew, but I got a little book that I can look it up. You know, and nowadays you can look it up on your phone. Go to blueletterbible.org. Great app, program, blueletterbible.org. It's a great resource. I don't care for their app. I can't get it. These young folks know, right? But I pull up their website. Remember, noble means respect, honorable character. God's word here is challenging us to think about things that are honorable and respectful. And I really think it goes a lot deeper than this, guys. Everybody with me? Amen? I think it goes a little bit deeper. I think it goes into our true calling to love God by loving people. Okay? Each day we should think of ways. Each day we should think of ways that we can honor people by respecting them. I believe that those are, that we talked about last week, those kisses to God. Remember? I think if you're respectful to people, young people, old people, if you're respectful to them, I think that's a way of honoring God. You know? Next one. It's the word right. God wants us to think about what is right in our mind each day. And again, that Greek right there for that meaning is obeying God's word. Obeying His commands. It's being obedient. We should think about His word daily and be a doer of God's word, not just a hearer only. You know, oh, that sounds great. You know, that sounds good. I heard this from a preacher on the radio. That's good. I heard this at church. That's great. I heard this in Sunday school. Man, that was really good. Well, now God wants us to be what? He wants us to practice that truth, that principle. To practice it in our life. All right, listen to this now. We should be known as someone who tries to do the right thing. Not be perfect. None of us are perfect. We're never going to be that. But we should be known as the person that really tries to do the right thing in business, in life, in our family, in the church. Even when it's unpopular. We just want to try to do the right thing. Okay? We should think about our actions and make sure we are trying to be a good example for our family, our children, and our community. Amen? I didn't come up with this. This is what Jesus is telling us. This ministers to me. I mean, that sounds weird, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's God. He's putting us together. He's challenging us in these areas. You know, it's encouraging to me. What about you? It is. Next one is pure. Pure. God wants us to think pure. I want to keep this super G-rated. Okay? Pure. Now you look up the Greek meaning of that, which you get the deeper meaning when you do that. It means to be clear of carnality. It means to have clean thoughts. God's word is challenging us to keep our mind clean and do not entertain lustful thoughts. We should refrain from books, magazines, or any form of entertainment that corrupts our mind. Amen? This may seem legalistic to some people, but it's not. It's warfare. There's a spiritual warfare going on. There's a warfare. There's a battle going on for your souls, mind, will, and emotions. There's a battle going on. There's a battle going on for your children, for your marriage, for your home. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God comes to give life and life more abundantly. And He's showing us how. Real simple. Real clear. The captain of God's army has given us specific things to do in order to keep our minds healthy and strong. Let me remind you again, we'll read this verse one more time. Paul, one of the lieutenants in God's army, said, verse 1, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown." He said, stand firm. Stand firm. This is the way. In this way, my dear friends. And He's given us these things we can do to keep our minds strong. The next one is lovely. God wants us to think on things that are lovely. And again, that Greek definition of lovely is, listen to this, this is interesting. It means friendly. It means approachable. It means kind-hearted. Approachable. Friendly. That is really beautiful to me. You see, each day we should think of ways to be friendly to our neighbors, to our co-workers, the people we meet along life's journey. People we meet, and to me this is so important right here, guys. Listen, the people we meet in life should feel comfortable talking with us. They should feel comfortable talking with us. They should feel the love of God coming from us. They should feel that kind-heartedness. They should feel that love, that friendliness, that you're approachable. They can talk to you. Our family and our friends should be telling others of our kindness and our mercy. Man, he's a kind-hearted dude. Yeah, you can talk to him. Man, he's real nice and kind-hearted. Now, the last one, Paul kind of puts it all sort of together when you think about admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy things. Now, in other words, we should think about whatever brings God honor, whatever brings Him glory. You see, if we obey God, obey His Word, what we should think about, in spite of our trials, we will have a positive mindset. We will see the glass half full. With God's help, we can be the kind of people that other people will want to be around. Our Christ-like mindset will attract others to ask us. They'll ask us, "What makes you different? I've been watching you. What makes you different? Why are you always happy when things are going wrong? How do you pull yourself up so quick? How is it that you always look like you're at least peaceful during difficult times?" And what this does is this gives us, you, It gives us an opportunity to share with them about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. It opens up that door for us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. So guard your heart and your minds. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Well, I thank you for everyone here today. Or if there's someone here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So as we sing this song, if you're moving on someone's heart to get saved, to know they're going to heaven, I ask, Lord, that you'll help them come forward. And I'll be standing up here at the altar, and I'll be glad to talk with them and pray with them. And we can settle that today, Lord. Not to join this church, not to play religion, but just know in their heart, they've settled it this morning. They're going to be a child of God, and they're going to be going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.